and good morning.
Or afternoon.
Afternoon, sorry.
Or yes. Middle of the dreary, dreary night.
Yes. Whenever, wherever you are, thanks for tuning in to the AfterBuzz. My name is Nico Edgeming, your host of the AfterBuzz. And, of course, with me, the man, the myth, the legend, Buzz Adams.
Hello.
Today was a fun Buzz Adams morning show. One of the things we talked about were a subreddit of the about the morning show that Buzz came across, because I guess you typed it into Google. You're like,
I was trying to get a ChatGPT to tell me what ChatGPT thinks of the morning show, and
but you weren't using chat; you were just Googling it. Which turned
anyway, it turned up like a Reddit thread from years ago where everybody's complaining about I'm this right wing conservative monster and I'm always attacking President Obama, and that's really interesting. Considering how often I get called a leftist and a liberal cuck.
Right. Well, I went to the Reddit page and I got my Reddit account so I could, you know, comment back on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Don't keep this. Come on. The most recent post on this was 5-6 years ago, I think.
But it turns out, like, I didn't know when I first got this Reddit account, like, I wasn't planning to use it. So I just kind of like went through the process. And so my screen name is General-Sky8289.
Okay.
So
did
every
you
time
pick that?
No.
Gives you your own username?
I think it has like just you do pick your username, but I think it gives like a random one just at the beginning. I wasn't paying attention. And I thought, "Oh, if I really care, I can change it later." Turns out can't change your username on Reddit.
You're stuck with that.
It's one of the real big things that they're sticklers about is linking your username, original username, to your account forever.
Wait, was this a username that you had in the past?
I've never used this before, this name before. Okay. It was just kind of there when I signed up, and I was like, all right, I'll just go through it. And I found out you only have 30 days to change it before.
Oh.
It's like forever. This is yours now. So I am now General Sky whenever I post things. I just didn't know that there's a company that won't let you change your username. It sounds like a flaw in the system.
What do they want you to have to own up to everything you ever posted on stupid Reddit?
I guess maybe that is the point of it, that they want that, whatever you've been about, it's linked to it.
No, no. You're not changing your name just to get out from under the heat.
Right. Also, it was National Star Trek Day yesterday, or the anniversary of
the 8th. September 8th was the anniversary. Next year is going to be the 60th anniversary of the original Star Trek series.
And boy, are they planning a bunch of stuff for
it. They better. You know, the stars of the original series, there aren't many of them still alive, and they're quite elderly.
Movies coming out. They're going to be doing some Star Trek movies. They're also going to have a new YouTube show, which I'm not even sure how that's going to work, but it sounds interesting. So I have some deep cut Easter eggs about Star Trek that I thought I might present to you, see what you thought of them.
Do you think I can get away with playing the theme?
No.
They're not going to come after us for playing the Star Trek theme, are they?
Imagine Shatner's like, screw you guys. Or you can go with it. I don't care.
No. I think if you play under 5 seconds of anything, you're in the clear.
Be fine. Yeah, yeah. So I have a couple of the Easter eggs and some fun facts. And then I have a interesting ask a... Well, this isn't ask a... it's not an ask me anything. This is ask Jane. Do you know who Jane is? It's like an ask Abby or dear Abby.
Nope.
It's like somebody writing into an advice column.
I've heard of Dear Abby. I've heard of her sister, Ann Landers. I've even heard of Carolyn Hacks.
Was there never an Abby? Or like people have just been using the name for other people?
Dear Abby's actual name is Abigail Van Buren, I think.
Oh, so there was a real Abigail. Right. But do you think she passed away or she passed on the thing?
Like, kind of like a Mrs. Butterworth
something? Yeah, yeah, yeah. That would make sense to me.
I don't have a definitive answer on that one.
Let's get into Star Trek. So... I love Star Trek. Buzz is a big fan of the original series.
Love the original series.
Did you know that the warp core sound, the iconic hum that you hear when you see the engine is actually a slowed down recording of just a jet engine, a normal jet engine.
I did not.
Also, on the Enterprise D, this is the one that shows up in Star Trek The Next Generation with Patrick Stewart, Gene Roddenberry insisted on carpeted floors on the bridge of the and everywhere in the ship because he insisted that a ship centuries in the future wouldn't have people clunking around on metal floors. It would be carpeted.
It's a nice carpet.
It's going to be carpeted in the future. He didn't think about stains, though. I don't think they'd like stains in the future. They'd probably have an easy way of cleaning up the stains, I guess.
Yeah, they'd probably shoot it with a phaser. make the stain disappear.
Did you know that real-life astronauts have appeared as guest stars in Star Trek? The first...
Real-life scientists have appeared, too.
And real-life scientists. The real-life astronaut Mae Jemison was the first real-life astronaut to appear on Star Trek in the episode Second Chances. And then astronaut Mike Finke appeared as a guest star on Enterprise, the television show.
Do you know who the only person who appeared as themselves on an episode of Star Trek Next Generation is?
Stephen Hawking?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, that was...
It was like in the holodeck and they were playing cards with famous scientists and Stephen Hawking, I guess a fan of the show, appears as himself.
So I actually have that in the next segment, which are notable guest stars across all of the different series. And you got the first one. All right. Stephen Hawking appeared as himself in a holodeck poker game with Data, Newton, and Einstein.
Very good. How did they get Isaac Newton to do a
guest appearance? As himself. All right. First notable guest star up, and this is by no means an exhaustive list, just a couple of the more notable ones. Kelsey Grammer. He played Captain Morgan Bateson of the USS Bozeman, trapped in a time loop in the Next Generation episode Cause and Effect. I love this episode because Kelsey Grammer, first of all, I think this was like in 88 or 90. I'm not even, like, definitely pre-Frasier. And he has a beard.
But post-Cheers.
Post-Cheers, pre-Frasier. He has a beard in this, and he has the old school uniform from the movies, not the ones that you see Picard wear and Worf and all the new, you know, those uniforms.
The movies, like the Star Trek, the motion picture.
Yeah, you know where they had kind of like collars that were white and it was kind of all red.
They weren't identical to the ones in the original series.
They were not at all. It was like an update.
Right.
So that was a kind of a cool episode.
Hey, I'm sorry, non-nerds. Maybe this episode isn't for you.
Yeah, but maybe you'll be interested and maybe you'll want to.
Can I tell you, one of the things I would use my allowance money and my paper route money on, they used to make these telenovels, not telenovelas, but they used the actual images from an episode of Star Trek, but they had the word bubbles like it was a comic strip. And I would get my hands on as many of those as I possibly could.
That's cool.
And my mom told me to quit throwing my money away.
All that dumb junk. Right. Ashley Judd. She appears as Ensign Robin Leffler. She helps Wesley Crusher stop an addictive VR game from taking over the crew in the episode The Game.
And that's the daughter from the Judds?
Yes, Ashley Judd.
No. Ashley Judd is the one who was not in the music. Oh, God, I get them confused. So Winona and God, two of them were a really successful country
musicians,
music duo.
Yeah.
And then one of them was not, but was a more famous actress than the others.
That's definitely Ashley Judd.
She
was actress.
One of the main or one of the high profile Harvey Weinstein accusers.
So Ashley Judd's mother is Noemi Judge, and her half sister is Winona Judd. Judd.
And it was Ashley.
Ashley. She's the actress. She's been in things like Double Jeopardy, Kiss the Girls,
Copycat,
Heat,
I think.
High Crimes, A Time to Kill, Copycat. All right. Next up. Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He appeared in...
What?
Yeah.
He played a tribble.
No. He plays a Pendari martial arts champion in an alien gladiatorial arena in Star Trek Voyager. And I remember seeing this episode and being like, huh.
Is Voyager the one with Scott Bakula?
No, that's Enterprise.
Which
Voyager is the one with the female captain. I can't remember her name.
Oh, Captain Janeway.
It's Captain Janeway, but the actress is, God, what's her name? She's super famous.
She was,
oh, this is going to bother me.
She was Mrs. Columbo on the, in the 70s.
Yes, yes. And the only reason I know that is because I just got into Columbo recently.
You know, she was on that.
Kate Mulgrew.
Kate Mulgrew. Yes. She was. She played Red in Orange Is the New Black.
Well, so in Voyager, the Rock shows up as like the gladiatorial combat champion. That I think
was this before he was real famous.
He was already
like
a wrestler.
Wrestling famous.
He was a wrestler so this had to be like 94.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like enough to get in as a guest star on Star Trek, I guess, right? But not The Rock famous yet. And he does use one of his special moves as the Pindari, the alien champion, the Rock Bottom.
The Rock Bottom?
Yeah, that's one of his special.
Not the people's elbow?
Not the people's elbow. Next up, Iggy Pop. He shows up in
as a Ferengi.
Deep Space Nine episode, The Magnificent Ferengi.
No. Does he play a Ferengi?
He does.
I was just thinking, like, what alien species could he play without the least amount of makeup? And I came up with Ferengi.
He doesn't play a Ferengi, but he does play a Vorta named Yelgrun, bringing his signature weird energy to the Dominion Empire. That's the empire ruled by shapeshifters and who like genetically engineer their soldiers. You didn't watch Deep Space Nine, did you?
No, sir.
Next up, Bryan Cranston.
What?
Guest starred before Malcolm in the Middle or Breaking Bad fame in the Next Generation episode, The Long Goodbye.
Does it say what year? Because that might have even been before he was Jerry's dentist on Seinfeld.
It has to be pre-96. Because there were only, because that's when Next Generation stopped. It was 96. Next up, Mick Fleetwood of Fleetwood Mac. He appeared under heavy, heavy makeup as an alien fish-like creature.
Okay.
Next up, Sarah Silverman played a 20. Okay, so this one I remember watching specifically because I'm a fan of comedy, and when I saw her, of course.
Which series?
Voyager with Kate Mulgrew again.
Does she ever age?
Sarah Silverman?
Doesn't she look like the same age as she did when she was in Something About Mary?
Sarah Silverman has aged very well. Yes. She always has like
I
that same.
She was super hot.
She's really attractive. In Saving Silverman, I thought she was super attractive. She plays a 20th century astronomer. So an astronomer who's in the 1990s. And the Voyager crew, Janeway and Chakotay, have to go back in time to stop a timeline collapse, and she helps them.
Man, they were constantly fucking with that timeline on all iterations of Star Trek. It's like they showed it no respect to the space-time continuum.
You know, there's a really funny episode, the fact that you bring that up, where the time authority, people who are in charge of like maintaining the timelines,
the TVA.
It's not the TVA, but it's like a special section of Star Trek of the Federation that's like we're in charge of all temporal anomalies, and they kind of come off as like hard-boiled detectives almost, and they go, "We have a file on James Tiberius Kirk that is about a mile thick."
And Dr. McCoy, too.
Yeah.
You don't really remember the original series episodes, do you?
I've only seen to the completion maybe two of them.
Oh, really? Episodes?
Maybe two or three, yeah. Like,
There's one where they go through, it's almost like a portal that is on this planet, and they end up in Depression-era United States.
And you're like, what the? What?
Why would there be that on an alien planet?
Why is everything connected to the 20th century?
All right. Oh, yeah. Or they'd find this is an alien species that based their entire culture on the mob wars of the 1920s. It's like.
That is crazy. Next up, Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine. Oh. He shows up in Voyager again, but not even in like a speaking role, really. He plays like an ensign, which is like a low-level, low-ranking
It seems like maybe Voyager was the series where they were like, we need to get some of these up-and-coming stars. You know, this Rage Against the Machine might be big someday.
Okay, so Next Generation starts in 88, I believe. Deep Space Nine.
I dated a girl who was really into Next Generation, so I'd have to watch it with her.
I mean, that is the best.
Do you ever remember the one? This is one I'll never forget. They come across a alien race of pigmen. I'm going to call them pigmen. But they only speak an idiom or references to their literature and culture.
That's one of the most famous episodes.
All right, I remember seeing that one going, it's kind of an interesting take. Instead of saying, hey, we need to work together to solve this problem, they'll say, Gorgamesh and Zelon on the wall. You know the episode I'm talking about?
Yeah, so the episode's called Darmok. And it's about a species that speaks entirely in metaphors, drawing on figures and events from their mythology and history to convey meaning to you. So, yes.
It's like a completely different way of speaking other than it's in English.
So, like Darmok and Jalad at Tenegra,
yeah,
as he would say.
Darmok and Jalad at Tenegra.
And then Picard's like, what the hell are you saying? This is not a language. And the guy's like basically trying to say, those are two heroes that work together from my history. We need to be like them.
Right.
And work together. Or Shaka, when the walls fell. All right. That is a
How did they ever create new, how did that literature ever get created without making references to previous literature?
I guess it not literature.
And how did they make a new
oral history?
Oh, okay.
If you just referred to oral history, that's how you would have, that means you would have to memorize every oral history then, which is the downside of oral history, not writing it down. All right. Next up, I have some this isn't guest stars, but this is some interesting crossovers and inside jokes. So in Deep Space Nine, there's something called Trials and Tribulations.
Is this the one where they recreate the Tribble episode and the fight in the bar and everything, but they have the Next Generation people go fight the Klingons in the bar?
Yes, and it's the Deep Space Nine people.
And is that fat guy with the trying to push the Tribbles on everybody?
Yes, and it's not just a recreation. They actually get the old footage and computer graphically insert the new people in the scenes. And that's one of my favorite episodes.
Do they ever explain why in the original series the Klingons were just kind of like bronze skin, but in the next one they had like a dead crab on their head?
Yes. Okay, so the Klingons went through a lot of genetic experimentation. And so the ones that you see in the original series are supposed to have been...
The OGs?
No, those are supposed to be the first genetically modified. And then they stopped doing that. It actually became outlawed to genetically modify Klingons.
And everybody went back to having a crab cake on their head?
Yes.
All right.
It's kind of weird that they had to go back. Because the reason that they didn't look the same, they just didn't have that makeup in the original series.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, the thing you got to realize is... they were just kind of using the makeup of the time.
What they could, right.
You know, they didn't have to make this prosthetic thing that people had different colored skin.
Right. So like 20, 30 years later, you get Worf coming along and he has the crab cake kind of head. And they're like, well, we got way better makeup now. Like, well, so how do we explain the shitty makeup from...
Oh, well.
Genetics.
We're going to explain it through retconning.
Through retconning. So... You didn't see Voyager, but one of the main characters.
See Voyager. I watched some episodes of that. Yeah, right, definitely remember seeing it.
There is a character named Tom Paris.
Okay, where was the Black Vulcan on? Remember, there was a Black
that's
Vulcan.
That's Voyager.
That was Voyager.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's very cool. anyways, the name of the character was supposed to be Nicholas Locarno. From the Next Generation, but they changed the name to avoid paying royalties to the person who wrote the episode in the original series.
The original series.
Yeah, so I guess they wanted to use a name from an older series in this new one, and they're like, oh, but that means we're going to have to pay the writers some royalties on this.
Okay, so let me go back to the original series just to interject. You know, a lot of those were just written by famous science fiction writers.
I think Asimov might have written.
Harlan Ellison, I know for a fact, wrote one at least. And then you see other names that pop up and you're like, oh, they just got science fiction
authors. More and more.
I wonder if they went and had them write an original story or if they took the basis of some thing they'd already written and had them adapt it for an episode of Star Trek.
That's a good question, because I know that when The Next Generation aired, Gene Roddenberry had a very strict framework for what he thought the characters and the writing should be like. Like, there was very strict rules. Like, the good guys can never lose. Like, he had some very, very specific things. Like, the main actor always needs to be a heroic, sexy leading man. And then
he didn't like the choice of Picard.
Hated.
Because he was bald.
He's a bald, older, he had white hair at the time, like a crown of white hair. And a Shakespearean actor, he definitely doesn't exude the sexiness of
Did Roddenberry ever come around?
He eventually, it took about maybe two seasons to start to really understand the nuance that Picard was bringing to the role, which is much more of a philosophical kind of strong,
I would say probably
man.
One of the fan favorite characters of all time.
I think Picard's probably my favorite captain, you know?
James yeah. T. Kirk!
Although there's a strong argument to be made for all of them, each one of them, I would say, exemplifies Star Trek ethos. All right, next up. Now, there's a species of godlike creatures called the Q, played by John DeLancey.
Yeah, I remember Q.
And he's one of the few characters to appear in almost every single adaptation of Star Trek, including Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, the new Picard series that just came out, and the animated Lower Decks, and Enterprise.
How about Discovery?
Not Discovery. He didn't show up in Discovery.
Again, apologizing to fans of sports and cars and anything that's not nerdy.
Do we've had this a lot of discussions about the history of religion on the AfterBuzz, specifically like.
Hey man, I'll talk with
Gnostic
you about any
traditions and
absolutely. I'll talk about anything you want to talk
demiurges
about.
Demiurges and
pretty out there in the weeds.
That's nerdy for religious nerds,
yeah,
I guess.
Right.
All right, so that's going to do it for my Star Trek trivia Easter eggs. If anybody is listening has any things that they think would be interesting to mention that I didn't mention, you're more than welcome to. You can leave a neckline call.
All right, that number's 521-NET, 521-6325.
All right, so I have an Ask Jane or Ask Abby.
Which is it?
This one specifically, Jane.
It's another advice column.
That's an advice column. And
can I tell you something I've noticed in some of the advice columns that are still running in newspapers, like in the USA Today? If you watch carefully, they'll say, taken from an online discussion. I think they're just going to the Am I the A-hole Reddit?
I think so, too.
I think that's what they're doing.
I think a lot of companies are just kind of sourcing.
Hey, let's solve this
crowdsource.
Possibly fictional person's problem.
Okay, so
I bet they did that back in the old days. I bet if they're like, we don't have a good one this week, let's just make up one.
Yeah, seriously. All right, so in this one, the person is saying, help me, I'm a male bunny boiler.
What is a bunny boiler?
I thought you would know that off the top of your head.
I mean, obviously, it's a person who boils bunnies.
When I looked it up, a bunny boiler is a term especially for a woman that describes someone who is emotionally unstable, obsessive, and potentially dangerous or vengeful towards a former romantic partner.
And do they put it in this just them. Like we're supposed to know what a bunny boiler is?
They do, but apparently the term originates from the 1987 film Fatal Attraction.
Oh, yeah, she boils a bunny.
A pet rabbit belonging to her former lover's daughter to terrorize him.
A La Toxica.
A La Toxica. Okay. That's the new way of saying it. And then under that he says, I demand endless sex. All right. Dear Jane. Sorry. How do I stop myself from losing my head and going completely nuts every time I fall in love with a new woman? I've been told that I'm just too much. I'm guilty of love bombing the women that I like. I buy stupidly expensive presents. I call and text 50 times a day and demand endless sex. I know that I overwhelm and even frighten lovers, and I always inevitably drive them away. I'm ashamed to say that I'm an obsessive, blundering fool. The minute I meet someone...
Do you think anybody actually wrote this in?
This does sound a little...
The whole thing sounds like a setup.
The minute I meet someone new, I drop friends and family like hot bricks. I slack off work and concentrate all my efforts on the new relationship. There's no balance and no sense of myself. I lose my mind. I fall just too hard, too quickly. All I can think about is getting naked with that person. Then there's the insecurity and jealousy. My date only has to be late calling someone or texting or meeting, and I fly into a jealous, anxious rage. I imagine she's met someone else, and I drive myself crazy with, what if?
Yeah, you're toxic.
Yeah, it sounds like he knows it, too. My last partner was a lovely woman. She was clever and kind, but she dumped me, apparently, because I was too controlling, and I think she was right. I was. She lost it when I kept turning up at her work, and finally, when I accused her boss of sleeping with her.
Okay. Is anybody this oblivious in the world?
She dropped me on the spot in front of her disgusted colleagues. I'm single again and frightened of doing it over and over. My brother has warned me that he will cut me off and have nothing more to do with me if I do this again. What can I do to ensure that I don't make a complete fool of myself all over again?
Chemical castration.
I think that, okay, let's assuming this is a real person. Those are all signs of deeply rooted emotional problems.
Your problems are your own here. These are not the problems of other people. These are problems. I can't believe that if this person is actually real, that it doesn't affect other relationships.
Like friendships, yeah. Family.
Family ties and that sort of stuff.
That's a good point. Also, it sounds like he has some deep-rooted psychological issues already that should probably just be sorted out.
Possibly abandonment issues.
Okay, so I think you hit on something, which I saw in the response, is that a lot of times people who feel so jealous and need to be close to somebody all the time have insecurities about being abandoned. Would you agree with that?
I'm not a psychiatrist, but yeah.
That sounds
kinda,
about right.
On its face, it kind of makes sense.
All right, this is what Jane says.
Who is this Jane?
Yeah. I felt exhausted simply reading your story.
Which I wrote.
Which I wrote.
That's probably why she's so exhausted. She had to write it and answer it.
Your roller coaster love life of extreme emotions cannot be good for your state of mind or your relationships with anybody that's around you. There's nothing wrong with being a passionate person, but that's obsessive behavior, and it's never attractive or desirable. Could it be that you need to work on your self-esteem? Controlling behavior comes out of insecurity.
Yeah.
I suggest you take dating off the menu completely. Just concentrate on you, bro. I'm going to be paraphrasing. Just concentrate instead on learning how to feel good about yourself. Think about maybe a hobby, a sport. Just no dating. Keep it out of the options. I think she says maybe mindfulness or yoga. This does not sound like a yoga kind of guy. She also says, please talk to your doctor regarding your need to dive in and then self-destruct.
What kind of doctor, I wonder?
Probably I have a psychotherapist. She means a psychiatrist, yeah. Absolutely.
I do too.
That I would agree with the same thing for women, though. It's not an attractive quality in men or women. Anybody that's too obsessed to, you know, you may have dated somebody who needs to text you 50 times a day or call you all the time, or, you know, you can tell it comes from a sense of insecurity, probably.
That's why I'm honest up front. I tell people, you know, I don't really communicate my emotions, so don't expect any of that. I don't remember birthdays and anniversaries, so don't expect that.
And how's that worked out?
And then my next thing I say is, where are you going?
Hey, wait, get back! All right, that's going to do it for today's episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We're back, baby. There's been some ups, there's been some downs. Buzz has gone out of town. I had some so I'm supposed to get my surgery on the 23rd,
but It's not a hernia, you said.
Apparently, that's what it is.
Oh, it is a hernia now.
It's two things, apparently, that I have. I have a hernia that's up in my chest.
Mm-hmm. And right next to it, do you have a quattro?
And right next to it, I have my quattro. No, the thing that I thought was my quattro that I keep pushing that I'm here all the time, it's an inflammation of the ribs, right around the ribs and the muscle right around the ribs.
Huh.
And it causes the cartilage to rub against each other. So it pops and snaps like a cracking your
face. I mean, kind of it sounds like the hernia.
It's not.
Isn't that when it pokes through your... What is a hernia?
A hernia is where muscle pokes... Where an organ pokes through muscle. So if you have an inguinal hernia, that could be your intestines poking through the muscle right in the corner of your leg. You know, the crease of your leg.
Oh, that sounds like it really hurt.
Yeah, those hernias aren't always painful unless they get constricted, which means the thing that's popping out of the muscle can get its blood flow cut off to it.
All right.
Mine is where my stomach is going through my diaphragm a little bit extra than it should be. So it's not the exact... So anyways, the inflamed ribs thing, it's basically like knuckles being popped. Every time I push on it, it's like causing the rib and the cartilage to start moving against each other. There's no cure for that one. It says I just have to like rest my... It says I have to stop coughing. Which I think is how I injured my ribs to begin with.
You cough frequently, Nico?
I cough pretty frequently. I would say I cough on a daily basis.
Because?
You got to cough to get off.
That's what I thought.
But I don't know. I might...
Maybe try edibles?
Yeah. I won't be able to... So do you know after...
Willie gave up smoking. He didn't give up marijuana, but Willie Nelson gave up smoking.
I know.
And it could have been, you know... I think there are definitely... health concerns of smoking anything.
Oh, anything. Yeah. Any particles that you're going to introduce to your lungs are not going to be optimal for it. But it's the doctor said, one, I will have to stay in the hospital overnight. It's not going to be like an outpatient procedure. Two, I can't eat anything solid for 2 to 3 weeks.
How about mashed potatoes?
Not even mashed potatoes. Only clear broth. Clear liquid. He said you can have like an Ensure milk, like an Ensure or a Boost to get your protein if you need, but nothing can go.
How do you think you'll do with that?
I don't think I'll have a choice. I mean, I'm just gonna have to. So what they're gonna do is wrap my stomach around my esophagus.
Gross.
And it creates like a artificial sphincter.
Jesus. What?
Well, a sphincter is any circular muscle that... So you have an esophageal sphincter, you have an iliac sphincter in your stomach.
Sphincter says what?
You have multiple sphincters.
As sphincter says what? As sphincter says what?
So mine's not working. Mine's like, my sphincter is constantly opening.
I bet it is.
And it's allowing fluid to rush in.
Sure it is. I mean, I don't relate necessarily, but...
No, stomach acid. Stomach acid.
Right.
So he wraps
bodily fluids.
Yeah, bodily fluids. So he's going to wrap the stomach around and then create like a new one by doing that.
A new sphincter.
A new sphincter.
How many sphincters do you have?
I got 5 sphincters.
Okay.
So it sounds like it's going to be a little bit more of a... I kind of want to postpone it, though.
Until when?
Maybe like Thanksgiving.
So you could eat? You better postpone through the holidays, and also got Super Bowl coming up in January. I'm thinking February.
You think I should do it in February?
Yeah.
No, I have to get it done eventually because I'm living on antacids and Pepto-Bismol right now. That acid is just killing me.
Well, that sounds better than eating nothing but broth for 3 weeks, though.
Didn't you have to do that?
I was supposed to, but I didn't.
How are your teeth feeling?
Oh, man. So I got to go in and have multiple root canals in one day, and they said
not suggested for everyone.
We can put you under so you don't experience any of it. And I said, nah, just, you know, give me a local, I'll tough it out. But now I'm thinking, yeah, maybe somebody could drive me over there so I can get put out altogether while they're doing it. Get a nice nap in.
All right. That is gonna do it for today's episode of the After Buzz. Let us know what you think. Neckline, email, text, wherever we are, you can let us know your thoughts. Check us out Tuesdays and Thursdays. Don't forget to listen to the regular Buzz Adams Morning Show Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLAQ 95.5 El Paso's Best Rock. Talk to you all next time.